Honey, I'm going out. I'll be back in a couple hours.
You play Farmville and call yourself a gamer.
You said awesome, and I said I hate it.
Okay, so here we go. This is where the extended knowledge comes in.
Don't mind me. I'm just staring at a wall somewhere.
Can anyone afford Benedict Cumberbatch?
That's surprising.
I don't think a human could make those sounds.
Yeah, well, you can do it, though, can't you?
Yeah, I get it.
Hi, I'm Dean.
I'll be honest. I was going to say I am P.S. Paul in a Scottish accent.
Yeah.
And I pushed out straight away.
Do it. Just try.
I'm P.S. Paul.
No, that was terrible, man. What the hell? What was that?
We've had a good mum.
And I'm Jason. Welcome to Nerds Before Birds, the podcast where you'll find reviews, rankings, and general discussion on all things pop culture.
Yes, mum.
This week, we're going to have a look at the 2018 British TV series Bodyguard, produced by the BBC and released as a Netflix original. Created by Jed Mercurio. It is a mere six episodes longs. Episode longs? It is a six.
Episodes long.
Ooh, that was
it
fun.
It is a mere six episodes long. And Richard Madden, most known for his role as Robb Stark in HBO's Game of Thrones.
I had no idea until episode six.
I did not know that was him.
Yeah. I didn't know.
You got through six episodes without
I told him at work.
Dean told me.
He couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I had no idea. Blew me away. And then I went back and looked at photos. I was like, yeah, that is him.
You watched The Red Wedding again and
yes, I did.
Cried about
it. It's hard to look him up and not have The Red Wedding come back first.
Oh. Yeah, fair enough. That's fair. Anyways, so he's the lead in this political thriller about an ex-soldier turned police officer, Detective Inspector David Byrd.
Oh, David,
who
what, sorry?
Is deeply troubled by his past. Yeah, it's Detective Inspector David Byrd. That's how he pronounces it. You should listen to it, man. Anyways, Bud's attempts to keep any psychological effects from spiraling out of control as he walks a fine line between secrecy and security.
See, I thought you were doing a sneaky.
What?
Like between secrecy and...
And then
and
I just...
Like, what is it?
I just trail
what
off.
What is he signing from? Well done. What an intro. I'm invested.
You're invested. You should be.
In the podcast.
Are you ever going to let Jason finish?
Yeah. No.
What was it say?
I don't know. He's never going to let me do anything without like criticizing. Look, it's really hard for me. Buddy.
You'll be all right, lad. Chin up.
I don't think I will.
Chin up.
Anyways, so does it look like an eagle or does it simply flip the bird? What did you think, Dean?
That a good mum.
Thank you for coming. Man.
That is my review.
That's your review for this one.
I have been sitting on that for so long, and you kept interrupting Jason.
Yeah, he's like, come on, let me get to it.
Come on, really I want to get to my joke.
My one joke for the podcast. It's ready.
Oh, it was worth it. Yep, thanks for that. See you later.
Like, I wrote this all week.
You stole my joke.
I'm sorry. I was like, well, that's it. Because like figured, you know what? Paul's probably going to make the same joke, but Jason always asks me first.
So. Yeah. Sucks.
Yeah.
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 But
you liked it? You thought it was good?
Loved it. It was very cool. I mean,
yeah, fair enough.
Not the best show that I've seen, but it definitely keeps you on the edge of the seat like not much else does these days.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Loved it. Great character work. It's definitely soaring like an eagle for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. What about you, Paul? What did you think?
Yeah. Soaring like an eagle. Once again, the British are showing us why they're just the masters at, you know, police espionage dramas.
Yes.
They're untouchable at how good they are.
Yeah. Like the way that you're saying that, what are some other police espionage dramas that you know of?
The biggest one I can think of is Spooks. That one ran for about 13 seasons or something like that. Mm-hmm. It was very good.
Broadchurch as well.
Broadchurch.
I mean, it's a detective's kind of story.
Luther as well.
Oh.
Beautiful. Midsummer Murders.
Luther's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Inspector
Sherlock.
Sherlock.
As if you wouldn't put Sherlock in that.
Yeah. No,
Inspector Poirot. Right. Yeah.
Bloody laughing at me. It's downright disrespectful. And I'll have none of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so like from the opening scenes, we
What did you think, Jason?
The sequence. Oh, what did I think? Oh, yeah, I liked it.
Sorry, great. Your opinion's better too, Jason.
That was good. Sure.
Anyway, well, it's good. It's all right. It's okay. Yeah, like, no, I thought it was good. I thought, like, from the opening sequence, which I was about to say anyways, the suicide bomber on the train sequence, I was this is intense. Yeah, like, when he finds her on the train and I was like, what is like going to happen in this whole show kind of thing?
Unreal.
And where does it go from here? And in some ways, I feel like it doesn't fully live up to that first sequence.
Bull crap.
Sorry. Yeah, I think so. I think so. Just right at the very end, things don't really pan out as good as that opening sort of leads you to believe the whole show is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I felt personally.
No, but that's what hooked me. Yeah. My housemate was watching it. I think I'd missed the first two or three minutes. I just walked through the living room and this was happening. And he's like, it was just kind of starting to be curious. I was like, oh, what's this? And I kind of just like keep watching it and I keep watching it. And then I just had to sit down and I was late for a party because you hit a point where you're like, what is happening? And like the sound design where you've got that, like that high pitch kind of drone in the background, just pulsing along with it. You're like, they're going to kill her. Oh, it was just unreal.
So
it was really cool.
If you guys have looked at Aaron Sorkin's writing masterclass a little bit, right?
No.
Mm. Paul has
I've seen it.
No, I was looking up Garry Kasparov Teaches Chess.
Lovely.
Legit. It's really good.
Aaron Sorkin's masterclass, if you want to learn writing for like, you know, film, anything.
Yeah.
He makes a great point about getting your audience's attention straight away and the different mediums. Yeah. Like for a stage play, you have your audiences being paid like $100 or something to be there. They're going to, like, you can take your time with it initially to, like, you know, build characters and stuff and people will sit there. Movies, you know, people have paid to be there, but you kind of need to do something in the first like 5 minutes to get your audience's attention. Otherwise they could walk out. Television, you need to get their, especially streaming, you need to get their attention instantly. Otherwise, they're just going to switch your channel. And this show does that so well. Like, it immediately gets you invested and you cannot look away.
Yeah.
And it's just really good writing.
Yeah, it was, especially I started watching the first episode on a train while I was going to work.
Wow.
And so I was on my way to work and it's only like a 25-minute commute. And so I just got up to where he was trying to negotiate with her, with Nadia.
Nadia.
And he's Nadia. Like, like he's doing like the whole, like, you know, trust me or whatever and all that kind of stuff. And I was like really invested in it that I didn't want to get off at my stop because I wanted to see what was going to happen. So, yeah. So I didn't go to work that day.
Did you check the bathroom on your way out?
No. But it just like, it is so well done, but I just couldn't wait to like get back on the train in the afternoon to watch the final sequence.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, like it didn't really heighten the level of intensity being on a train when you're watching that kind of thing.
Oh, that's sad.
But
I mean, actually, no, probably.
Well,
good.
No, because it was really, really high as it was. So, like it's pretty intense. But what do you guys think of Richard Madden as the lead? Like, because I mean, he's coming off the back of, like, he's done other things, but he's most notably known for Robb Stark in Game of Thrones,
yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm.
And he's always like in that, he's in the ensemble sort of cast. So he's not really the lead. Whilst he has a lead role, he's not the main lead. So this, he's kind of holding the whole show on his shoulders in some ways. What did you guys think of him as the lead? Dean?
Loved him, actually. It's very, very different to things he's done in the past in the fact that, like, oh no, damn it. That's a spoiler. Can we go into spoilers?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Let's just do spoilers.
Look,
let's
get into it. Spoilers?
I don't know. Should we go into spoilers yet?
I think, look, if you like high action police drama that keeps you guessing, the turns don't go the way you think the turns are going to go, seriously give this show a watch.
And you've got a spare 6 hours.
It's not that long, but it's not, freaking good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Get a free trial, 30 days, free Netflix. Watch that. Watch. What was that movie that we watched? That other one?
We're not sponsored by, Michael Pana? By Netflix, by the way.
Huh?
We're not sponsored by Netflix. No. You're like, get your free trial today of Netflix to watch the new series, Bodyguard.
I freaking wish we were sponsored by Netflix. How cool would that be?
Yeah, you'd screw it. Go to Pirate Bay. Bodyguard, download it, watch it. It's great.
Love it.
Don't support it so we don't get more awesome shows like this. Go and watch it.
Well, they didn't see, that's the thing, like, BBC produced it. It was just Netflix that picked it up as a Netflix original for international distribution. So it's not really made by Netflix. It's that made by the BBC.
Makes heaps of sense. This does feel BBC-ish in its storytelling. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. Love so it. You want to be supporting the BBC somehow? I don't know how you do that without, like,
look, just international. Buy tea.
Buy a ticket, get on a plane, go move to England, watch the BBC.
Just a few simple steps to support the BBC. Just
do that.
Move to London.
Move to London. Contact your local senator. Get a photo of the Queen. They're free.
What was that? You get a photo of the Queen?
They're legally obliged to give you a photo of the Queen.
Yes.
And the Prime Minister.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the Queen.
You just have to write to your local MP and they will send you out their, it's a framed photo of the Queen. So yeah. Have you ever needed a frame?
No, it comes with a frame. Just, yeah, if you ever need a frame or if you just want to pay
it comes with a frame. Actually, does it come with a frame? That might not be accurate information. It might only just be like a poster size printout of the Queen.
Yeah, but it's still, the actual Queen.
It's free. No, it is the actual Queen. It's the poster.
It's just a photo of the band.
The band Queen. Yeah.
As long as it comes with the frame, Freddie Mercury. I'm really just wanting the frame. Yeah. That's all.
It's a good frame.
I'll
get it. Throw away the photo of the Queen and just keep the frame. That's all I want.
Not.
Oh, you call yourself patriotic.
Do I?
Or do you call yourself patriotic?
Okay, like, sure.
You might refer yourself as patriotic.
I can hear your citizenship being torn apart.
Yeah, as we speak.
I don't think I'm eligible for that picture anymore. Anyway.
Yeah, no, it's not for you, Dean. Anyways, back to the Bodyguard.
Richard Madden, fantastic. Loved him in this.
So we've already agreed. We all liked it. Let's jump into spoilers.
Let's do it.
Yep.
You were going to say before, like, you're going to say something in spoiler territory. So.
Literally just, very different kind of role for him. The fact that he doesn't die. It's just very different.
Yeah.
That was that's literally, surprising. That was the joke. That was the joke. I had to go through so many hoops to get there. It's not shut up.
It's funny, dude. No, it's good, man.
Man, you went to a lot of effort this week. You wrote 2 jokes for this episode.
I did.
Ooh. Someone studied.
I have no more jokes for the rest of this episode, so thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah.
See you, mate.
See you later.
Yeah, see ya.
Enjoy.
So what else are you up to tonight? What else have you been watching?
Who are you talking to?
Who are you talking to?
Doing an intimate thing with Paul that I shouldn't be around
left
for?
After you leave?
Oh, my God. If you're still with us, thanks.
Yeah. Anyways, what were we talking about?
Richard Madden.
Yeah.
He was good.
Yeah. I thought he was good.
Yeah.
Cool.
As detective.
Thanks for joining us, everyone.
Keep an eye out for him. He's going to go places. Yep. Facebook, Instagram.
Awesome.
Did you suspect him as being like the, like in on the whole thing? Like, because there's the thing in the first episode when he meets the other PTSD soldier and he's like, you said it yourself. If you're ever going to find him, I can't even
He wasn't even Scottish. This dude was English.
He said it. He said it to the guy. He's like,
oh, yeah.
You said it yourself. If you ever found yourself besides one of the hostels, you're going to close your eyes and pull the trigger. Oh, like, he's like,
the poor barn owls.
That's what he says. The barn owls. Yeah, he literally said that line. Like, and it kind of set him up as like this manipulative
double crosser,
evil guy.
Yeah,
yeah, double crosser. And I was like, why would he say that?
I thought, I didn't think that's the way it was going to go. I thought he was getting close to Julia as possible because ultultimately he was going to kill her.
Yeah.
And that's where I thought that was going to go. And then
that's what I was thinking. Like, that's where I was headed with that. Cause I was just like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Well,
like,
I think
it doesn't make sense.
It was, the show was good in the fact that it did keep you guessing and it kept people's kind of like intentions pretty cleverly concealed right until the end.
Yeah.
I thought.
Yeah.
Especially with Richard Madden's character, David Budd. But there were other characters that you just constantly were not sure of.
Yes.
Like the whole way through. Like all the Secret Service guys. You knew that there was some sort of... All the higher-ups.
All the higher-ups. You're like, who is in on this?
Yeah. You knew that at least one of them was. But secretly, basically you suspected every single one except for the one that it was.
Yes.
That was for me anyway.
Which we'll get to.
Really?
Yeah.
I sort of suspected her in the very beginning because she's the first one. It's right. Like, it's the one that was introduced. Like not the big bad.
Mm-hmm.
But the one that's involved in the actual police department that set him up to be the...
Fall guy.
What's the name? The fall guy, basically. Yeah. In the very beginning, and she's like meets with the guy at the end, and that's where it's like revealed that she's been in on it the whole time. I kind of felt like that was kind of obvious, like that it had to be her because there was that moment when she basically gave up on him as well, right at the end when he had like the whole bomb, like the vest attached to him. So I kind of was like, like,
I'll be honest though. The actress, like her turn at the very end was really well done.
Which one?
Oh, Nadia.
Nadia. No, see, I'm not talking about Nadia.
Oh, you mean
the other, like the inspector, like the one that actually superintendent sets him up to be. Yeah. Superintendent, whatever she is.
Chalmers.
That's his boss, his direct boss.
Don't do this.
And that's where like, I was expecting that she was part of it. And then the Nadia twist, I was like,
Did you suspect that she was the only one that was in on it? Or did you think that Nadia? She was working for someone else?
Oh, I thought she was working for someone else. Yeah.
Okay. I thought it was going to be the bigger up. I thought it was like the main head, the one who was in all the meetings with the security service guys. And that's who I thought it was going to be.
I thought it was.
Yeah, right.
And I think they were really pushing it. Mike Travis.
Yeah.
I thought he was like, yes, he obviously did some bad stuff, but I thought like he was the mastermind. But like,
he was sort of a little bit too obvious in some ways.
Yeah. Which when you look at it though,
the actual
British TV does that a lot. They will throw a few different people at you and you're like, it can't be him. Yeah. It's too obvious.
It does build and build and build.
Yeah.
Like to an end where you don't know who to actually expect and everything like that.
Yeah.
And to the point was like, do we suspect Bud still? It's like, I don't think so, but it's just suspicious. Like the bit where he finds the tablet and you're like, hang on, did you hide it there? How do you know it's there?
Right.
Are you bad?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
And then like his whole sort of, like, you're kind of still not even believing him when he seems very devoted to the Julia character after she dies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, it just seems very, I don't know. We're already in spoiler territory, right?
Yeah,
I really hope so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really hope so.
Whoops. but, yeah. That's how I felt with that kind of thing. But do you think the ending holds up with like everybody double crossing everybody and that kind of thing? Does it get a little too confusing? Did you find it confusing towards the end?
Are you talking specifically about Nadia, her twist?
Just how everyone's linked into Nadia.
Yeah.
And the whole trail to Nadia.
I think,
does it work?
I think it works. Like looking back on it, it makes sense. It's like she was the mastermind. She was making all of this happen. She was the one throwing the lead out on like the Richard Longcross character. Ultimately, though, I thought it felt rushed. At the end, it felt like we've got to wrap this up in an interesting way. And it kind of did. Like, I'm not unhappy with it, but it felt quick. Like, there were, there were a lot of awesome moments in the show. The bomb scene, very beginning. The sniper scene was cool.
Oh.
That was pretty full on.
Oh, yeah.
I just felt, it felt rushed, and you sort of lose that sense of danger that you kind of just feel, you're like, because there's so many fake outs. Like, the bit where he shoots himself in the head, and you think, just killed him off. He's dead.
Yeah. By the end, like, holy, what the hell just happened to this show? Yeah. Like, we just lost everything.
And then when the door opens, sort of, you think, is he going to be missing half his head or something like that? I didn't even think Julie was dead. I thought she's faked her death to then push her Bill through.
Yeah.
And she's underground somewhere.
I was thinking the same thing. Yeah. And I think that's the beauty of the show, is that everyone's sort of deceptive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you don't know exactly who's who and what they're doing. But yeah, what were you saying, Dane?
I think I agree with you, Paul, that on the too rushed at the end thing. I think just Nadia's turn didn't convince me. It kind of like, more like, okay, I get like, hey, yeah, sure, pin it all on her, make her the ultimate bad guy. But just the way she confessed to everything at the end.
Yeah.
It felt more for the audience than for her.
Exactly.
It's like, as if you'd confess. Like that,
That's not how interrogations work.
No.
It's like a James Bond villain. Like they turn around and they give out the whole plan. They're like,
like an anime.
Mr. Bond, I expect you to die. And then they're like, yeah, here you go. Here's my plan.
Just got me monologuing.
What's that? You picked up on this one little link that I can probably talk my way out of? Oh, you got me. You got me.
Whereas her whole thing was to be so on the inside that they just never suspected her. And it's like, well, why would you give that up? You could still do things from where you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that's what I agree.
It doesn't make sense.
It just wasn't convincing, that part.
Yeah. And as for like, David Budd, more than what I would have done if I had have blown myself up. And I'm like, well, you would have done more still if you had have been really quiet right now.
Yeah, exactly. If you just say, I don't understand what's happening, keep waterboarding my husband, which you're not legally doing. Get a new car battery. Keep talking to him.
Mm-hmm.
One more episode might have done... made it better.
Maybe.
Because I was looking at the runtime, by the way, it was one of the, I was on the edge of my seat the whole time. When he had the bomb. When he was trying, I just could not look away.
Episode?
The last episode when he was wearing the bomb.
Yeah.
He was trying to, he was trying to defuse it.
And he was in the park and they're like, he can see them all start to move back and they're like critical shot authorized. And he's like, please. And you're like, my gosh, they're going
amazing.
To kill him dead.
I couldn't believe it. Like, it was some of the best television I've ever watched. And then he's defusing the bomb and it's intense. And you're like, it's crazy. I don't think I blinked for 5 or 10 minutes.
That's right.
And then, but then he gets the bomb off and he defuses it.
Then legs it.
Instantly legs it, runs away. And then it looked as okay, now what's going to happen? And there was 20 minutes to wrap up the entire season after that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there were so many things to do at that point that I figured that's not enough time. That is just not enough time.
Did you think it was awfully convenient how he just slips out of the bomb and then disappears out of view of all the police that are surrounded him? Like, I thought there was a helicopter at one stage, wasn't there?
There was a helicopter. There was a 100-meter rolling cordon.
But
it's where are those guys?
It's like, magic.
Ooh, I'm Batman. My God. I am the knight. Bruce Wayne.
He'd be a pretty good Batman, actually.
He'd be a good Robin.
Yeah. Or he'd be a good James Bond. Ooh. Like, Because there has been rumors that he may be the new James Bond. So what do you guys think of that?
About that. I've done research.
It's not a thing?
No.
You've done research?
No, here's what I found. So obviously there was rumors going about that post Bodyguard, he was at the top of Barbara Broccoli's kind of list. She really liked him.
Yeah.
Liked what
Is her name really Barbara Broccoli?
Is that? Yeah, I don't know.
That's her name.
Wow.
She's Albert R. Broccoli's daughter, I think.
Yeah, it's just, that's a fun name. Barbara Broccoli. Continue.
Okay.
Yeah,
that is a fun name. So he was at the top of her list.
I feel like that is like almost like a practical joke as a parent.
Barbara Broccoli. You are a comic book character.
Yeah, exactly. She does Bond and Marvel. He was at the top of the list.
She's Captain Broccoli is her actual
Barbara Broccoli, Daily thing. Beagle.
And she's like, gives you your daily veggies. She runs around like throwing broccoli at people. That's what she does. It's a superhero.
They're just like hardcore carnivores. They're like, my weakness, vegetables. So what I was saying, it's purely just a rumor. So it's like, yeah, they like his style and there's a potential for the future, but they're not going to start filming Bond 25 until March. December.
Yeah, that's the final one with Daniel Craig, right?
Yeah. It's not going to come out until 2020. And then even then, they didn't start looking for people to be James Bond until like 2 years after Pierce Brosnan. So it'll be maybe 2022 until they start looking for other people. Not to say that he might not pop back up at that point. We don't know where his career is going to go. But at this point, it's pure rumor.
If it's that far in the future, I'd be more for it. Currently, I think personally, he looks too young for the part, kind of thing. Like, how old is he? He probably isn't. He's probably like ripe age. Ripe age.
Right. You're going to marry him off? He was born in 86.
He's like, good for the picking.
He's what, 32?
Really sound 32. Like, you know, like
42.
Some sort of king from like medieval days. Ripe age. What the
hell? He's just a ripe age. He's he looks fresh. Gold glass.
He's a gold glass. He's the right age to go into gold class with me.
My point is, he looks a little bit too baby faced at the moment.
True.
Okay.
How old was Daniel Craig when he like first took over?
Probably the same age. Probably 35-ish, I think. I don't know.
I'll look it up. Hang on.
Oh, thank you. No, just think about it for a little bit and see what you come up with.
So like, I went to look it up for Casino Royale. I was like, Daniel Craig, age, Casino Royale. And the first thing came up, at age 14, I was like, whoa. No, he wasn't 14.
Look at that.
So Craig was born in 68 and Casino Royale was 2006. He was 38? No, hang on.
If you like math, write to us and tell us what that is.
38.
Tell us what the age is. We're not going to be able to work it out.
He's 38. Idiots, 38? Listen. It's not that high.
Whoa, man. Whoa.
Hey, settle down, dude. Man.
38. He was 38. 38.
What did you say?
I think.
What was Casino Royale?
2006.
What year?
38.
2006. I think he's minus 38 based on my calculator.
I hate you guys. 38. So if they start looking for a new Bond in 2022, then Richard Madden will be like, 35.
Well, still too young, see? Gonna be 3 years later.
I think Roger Moore was 38. Like 50 when they cast him.
You're gonna be minus 38 to be able to play James Bond. Everyone knows that.
Daniel Craig.
Everyone knows that.
Yeah. It's the only reason why I haven't been cast yet.
James Bond.
Because I'm only 28. That's why.
Only.
Yeah.
You shut your mouth.
Is that the reason why you're not going to be able to play James? Wait, what?
It's the only reason why. That's the only reason why I got Bond. right now.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, yeah, of course.
It's the only reason.
Yeah.
Jason's lucky. Yeah, he gets to play Bond before I do. So
I know. I'm all ready for it.
He's ready to roll right now. Barbara, what contact
this is my moment.
A bold new direction with Jason Fittler as Bond. Oh, that direction is down. Yeah,
for sure.
Anyway.
Under. Down under.
Oh, yeah.
Down under.
Thank you.
That's what I said.
I'm the second Australian Bond, so you know, I can take that.
Down under. Jupiter ascending.
The last Australian Bond was so good.
Yeah, he was such a good Bond, wasn't he?
George Lazenby.
George Lazenby. Yeah, he was. He played Bond. Yes,
he was.
He stuck around for a while.
He
was so good.
Played the character. He read the script and said the words.
he played the character. That's exactly what he did.
He showed up.
He was there. He probably got paid for that one.
So George Lazenby, like, he rocked up to the audition and he like wore the suit, did all that kind of stuff, and he'd never been in a movie before, but he completely lied and said that he had been, and he was in like heaps of movies in Japan and Asia, and they wouldn't know the names of the movies and all this stuff. Like, completely like fooled everyone in the room. And they're like, oh, can you come back on Friday for like a
screen test?
Like, to meet like some of the producers and a screen test. And he got really freaked out because he'd like actually passed through, that he was like, I'm not gonna, you know what, I've actually got another shoot on. And they're like, whatever they're paying you, we're going to pay you double. And he was like, they're paying me $500 or something like that. And they're like, okay, we'll give you $1,000. And he was like, okay.
Really? Wow. Yeah, really? What a
ton artist. Yeah, my goodness.
So like, he just like went along to the whole thing. Like, and yeah, like, and then eventually he got through to like the biggest producer on that one. And he was like, I have to admit that I completely lied. And the guy was like, well, you convinced some of the hardest people to convince.
Well, yeah.
So I want you to be James Bond kind of thing.
That's really
cool. All those out there who have lied on their resume, man.
Yeah,
good on you.
Can lie on your resume and get Bond.
Yeah, just say you worked in Japan or something.
Yeah, exactly. You wouldn't know about it, but
yeah,
Japan is that even a real country?
Like a few years ago, that was he was CEO of a company, and he had someone else like remote logging into his computer and basically running the company from offsite. And they found out like years later that he had like some certificate saying that he went to Harvard or whatever, but it wasn't legitimate. He never even studied anywhere, but he had like literally this guy just remote logging in, doing all his emails and everything like that. And he'd do the face to face, but some other guy he paid like, you know, quarter of his wage to do the job for him.
That's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah. I think he went to jail, but it was on the news.
Damn,
like,
it is fraud.
10 or 15
up
years
until
ago.
That point. I was thinking like, that is a great get rich quick.
Get rich. There.
Get witch.
Yeah,
get witch quick.
I love to get witch.
Is she heavier than a duck?
Make sure that I can get to my gold class seats that way.
Yeah, I don't need to speak properly when I'm watching
gold class.
Yeah.
I'm a gold class. I'll make up my own words if I want to.
Thanks to that guy that does all my work for me, I can afford gold class.
He's only in third class because there's no fourth class.
I'm actually at work right now, well, digitally, by someone else, and I'm in gold class currently watching a movie.
You still work?
Peasants.
Wow.
Brilliant. Yeah. But I don't even know the full story, but it was something along those lines. It may be like an urban myth, but yeah.
That's cool.
Have a look. See if you can find it. Anyone listening, see if you can find that story and what the actual article is. I'd love to know what it is. I know the George Lazenby story is accurate, but yeah, I'm not sure about the CEO that whatever, like, had the guy remote viewing in.
Got to be careful with these stories.
So getting back to
you got to be careful with these stories if you don't know the legitimacy of it. Like, man.
Yeah.
Oh, we could get in some serious trouble.
Yep.
I know, right?
Yep. That we are a legitimate CEO is gonna get me.
He's like, I'm not a fraud. But yeah. Anyways, so getting back to David Bard. What did you guys think of like his whole sort of quest to like, I don't know, like get the killers of Julia and all that kind of thing? And he kind of goes into like this madman territory after he tries to shoot himself in this. What did you guys think of that? Were you still sort of convinced that he might be a bad guy throughout that? Or were you starting to believe that he was a good guy? Like, at what point did you flip and think he is not the bad guy?
I think that was the point. That was a good turning point where it's like he's so distraught that, like, even at this point, I was like, why hasn't he told them about his association with the sniper?
Yeah.
Like, you can kind of see where he comes from, where it's like he would be the fall guy if they knew that. But 100%. It's like, is he still holding out? Is that why he wanted to take up that part of the investigation to just try and bury it? But he was so devastated after Julia's death, and he just he's failed on all fronts. I think at that point, it's like anything after this, then he is genuine intention.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The lead up to him trying to shoot himself was the point where I was like, he is too emotionally invested in this woman and this situation. Yeah. Like, he did not have any part in this at all.
Yeah.
That's where I figured. And then for like the last two or so episodes, you're like, he's not in on it. No. He's the victim here. So yeah. But, good storytelling again. I'm just going to keep saying that. Great storytelling.
Great storytelling.
Great storytelling. I love the character.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. But yeah, I did find it a bit convoluted towards the end.
Your face is convoluted. What? I'm sorry.
Don't bring my face into this.
I'm really sorry. It's late. Like, I am.
You can't make fun of someone because they're convoluted, man.
Yeah, man.
I'm sorry.
Let's talk about Kaylee Hawes, who also voiced the voice of Tomb Raider in a few of the games.
Did she really?
Really?
You know that? Yeah, yeah.
No, so I didn't know that at all.
Voice of Tomb Raider, and I think it was in some of the earlier games, but I'm not really sure. But what do you guys think of her as like the main sort of what is her actual role in this? Like, what is her title?
Home Secretary.
Do you remember? Home Secretary, yeah.
Yep.
So what did you guys think Catalyst. Of her as sort of like, she sort of plays the mean sort of just sort of horrible, but also by the end of it, I felt like you got to know her a little bit.
Dean, what did you think?
Paul? Yeah. Paul.
You said Dean. That's fine. Dean.
Yeah.
Enlighten us.
I mean.
Enlighten us.
Look. Okay, sure. Yeah, cool. I was just actually, can you
one
just
of the things
write
that
down
I thought
your
was interesting about it?
Yeah, go. So one of the things that you thought was interesting, Dean, what was it?
One of the things that I thought was interesting was what Paul was about to say. Uh-huh. And
Moving
on.
Actually, once legitimately. I feel like it was quite interesting how her character kind of changed from scene to scene initially. Like that whole thing, like her first introduction, she comes off as pretty full on and aggressive and just like completely passive of Richard Madden's character. Next scene, she's apologizing and trying to make up. And then the next scene, she's like, don't tell me how to do my job. And it kept you guessing like where that whole relationship was going to go, kind of thing. And what, you know, she was, is she somebody to be, you know, connecting with, or is she going to be like a big bad that we are meant to like root against throughout the whole season?
Yeah.
I had no idea what her character was going to be.
See, that's an aspect of her that I liked because he kind of, you never knew where he stood.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not saying I didn't like it. I loved it.
She seemed like a person who was like, she'll relinquish a little bit of control. But as soon as that starts to get played with too much, straight away it's like, nah, walls up, go away.
Yeah.
I don't need you to vote for me. I need you to make sure I don't die.
Yeah.
It
failed.
What did you guys think of the like initial like motivations for the story? Like the whole thing she's trying to get through the Senate, like the whole
the Ripper 18 bill.
Ripper 18 bill, yeah. Like, did you guys buy that as a thing that would happen in real
life?
Yeah. Well, I just figured
absolutely.
Like, wouldn't it just be like what they do in the US and just go for it and do it anyway?
No.
Without having to put it through.
No, because they're not the US.
Yeah, but even in the US, they can't just put things through. You've got to go through the parliament anyway.
Yeah, but like, my point is they do it anyway. Like the whole...
But look at Facebook the amount of thing. Backlash that happened after Snowden spilled.
Yeah, that's why you don't get caught doing it, obviously.
Idiot.
No, but even the whole Facebook thing with Cambridge Analytica and selling off personal information, like it's happening all the time. People just assume that their personal information and like they're being monitored. That's just an assumption that people make.
Didn't they try that here? Recently?
Yes.
Like it was only like maybe 2 or 3 years ago that
they tried to implemented the Mandatory Data Retention Act, where store URLs and a few other things like that of browsing history for a minimum of 2 years off site. So should you be a person of interest, they can kind of look at your past browsing behavior, which I think is stupid, but let's not go down that road.
See, I just thought that it was going to be the same as US, but there you go. It turns out Australia, UK, other countries, unlike the US, they will actually ask you first before stealing your personal information.
No. Let's not go that far. Legally, they'll have stuff in play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, who knows what they're actually doing?
Yeah. Interesting.
Who watches The Watchmen?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I often worry about whether people are listening to me when I speak into a microphone.
You don't have to worry about that, Jason. No one is.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
No one's listening.
Yeah, I don't think anyone is. No one's listening.
No one's listening.
This is the best way to make sure that like no FBI can listen to us. So like, oh my God, they're rambling again. I'm going to go and get a coffee. This is where we talk about the illegal stuff right now. Here we go.
This is it.
Have you guys got the shipment?
Yeah.
Good.
I feel like it's kind of like with all the intelligence in this, like who, like where are they getting the intelligence from if not from monitoring people anyways? So like clearly it's in effect in the show, in the world of the show, because you've got like the whole intelligence officer that keeps coming to her and telling her what's been leaked and all the information that they know. Like where does that come from? It's obviously from... doing the exact same thing that they're trying to do legally, I suppose.
So that was kind of thing. That is what I was trying to get at. Like they're already doing this stuff that they're trying to get past. It's just like they're trying to make what they already do legal.
It's kind of like
it's more
it's like when prohibition ends and you make like making moonshine legal finally because you're like okay, prohibition's over. I'm just gonna bring out my my backup supply of moonshine that I've been working on for 10 years and now I can actually sell it legally.
No, it's like this isn't fun anymore.
Just fine. yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah. But yeah,
I guess I'm getting back into the cocaine business.
No. But yeah, that's it.
It's legal watching.
Damn it. Anyway, I was gonna say, Jace, we were talking the other day when you had seen. Yeah, it was great. You'd seen The Bodyguard, but I had not yet, and you were trying to like.
Where was I?
You were, I don't know, doing stuff. But you were talking about how you felt it was kind of weird how there were certain characters that were purposely hiding, like not sharing information for the sake of creating drama. Like you feel like it was going that way. Do you, like, now that you've finished, now that we've all finished, do we still feel the same way about that?
In some ways, because I felt like it was more the protagonist. And I feel like because the way that they skewed him, to almost make him look like he was being manipulative of everyone around him.
It kind of made me feel like they were purposefully making him out to be the bad guy. And things like those lines early on when he's talking to the other friend of his, where he's like, basically, like, you'd shoot him in the head if you were given the chance kind of thing. I was like, why is this line in here? Is it only in here to purposefully make him look like the bad guy, or is he actually the bad guy? And then I never really felt like that was kind of justified, that sentence.
Mm-hmm.
I get the fact that he's suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, and so some of the things that he's doing are a little irrational.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, I kind of was like, is it just intentional filmmaking to justify an untrustworthy protagonist?
Yeah. And to the point where it becomes a bit unrealistic, the way he's behaving.
Yeah, and a little bit contrived kind of thing. So, yes and no. I can't really remember where I was up to when I was talking to you about it as to what exactly I was thinking with that. But, yeah, I thought it was very interesting that he was linked to the one sniper that was going to take her out in that, like, awesome sequence where they're driving along and the sniper takes out the driver and then tries to shoot her several times through the side of the car. Because what happened there? Like, the driver gets killed with, like, the first shot, right?
Yeah. No, it's, like, and then, three or four shots.
No, yeah, he's, like, two or three in the window and then he just gets destroyed. Yeah.
And because
it goes through, right?
Apparently the sniper is that good that it can hit a moving vehicle in the same spot on the glass.
It's three times. The same spot.
It's around this. It's like within 10 centimeters.
Yeah, that's
like
fine.
It's in a like pretty small space.
Yeah, but he's not that far away. Impressive. He's like 200 yards.
He's pretty far. He's like on the top of a building.
Yeah, easy.
And it was down the street on top of the building. So
it's not that hard. I did it in PUBG a few weeks ago.
Shut up.
Because that's so realistic.
If I can't do that, then it's unrealistic.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that are unrealistic then.
Yeah.
Literally every single movie.
You're like, doing math is unrealistic.
Doing math. What? Math is unrealistic, Jason. The gold lounge is unrealistic.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't believe anyone goes to the gold lounge.
When characters in movies have friends, I find it hard to believe.
Yeah. I hate it when other languages are spoken. It's unrealistic. There is but one language. Queen's English.
It's not even that. It's just the one that I speak.
My English.
When a character gets a promotion or any kind of success in any movie, find it unrealistic.
Disgusting.
Get detached. Detached.
Why are people saying hello to him? Like,
plot holes, plot holes. I see a problem with this film. He's got a promotion.
That's funny.
Oh, my goodness.
Nice.
Yeah, when people are above average height, I find it hard to believe.
You're like, the part in The Lord of the Rings where they were with the hobbits, that was believable.
That was so believable.
The rest of the movie, absolute rubbish.
Totally related. Gandalf guy. Freak. Pull me right out.
I actually found that a little bit convenient that he was like friends with the one guy that they were able to manipulate, and he basically sees him like, you know, two nights beforehand or whatever, and then he has that line that I talked about before that there's pretty much, you know, it's almost like it's daring him to try and kill her.
Yeah, you got to finish. And, you got to finish it.
Yeah. You like got to finish whatever you started. Oh no! But that's just before he shoots himself, the other guy. But like he kind of when they first meet up in the very first episode, he's kind of like daring him to shoot her in a way, in a roundabout way. And I was like, well, it doesn't. I don't know. It just doesn't make sense. And then there was a few things that he says when they meet up in a bar about, it was just very vague, kind of as if they had plans together to actually do something, like some sort of attack
yeah.
mm-hmm. and that he was involved with. So I was like, oh, maybe I'd have to watch it again to actually.
Do you think it was just, yeah, so they just put that yeah. in there as a way to sort of throw you off the trail?
Yeah, just like as a red herring yeah. to like throw you out and
yeah.
make you confused as to
classic British.
Who's
well, I have yeah. to, I have to watch this show again anyway because I'm kind of yeah. in the bad books because I watched it without Rachel and she's a bit upset because yeah. she really wanted to watch it. But I was like, yeah. like, you're doing a podcast and you're too busy, you know.
She's sleeping. Waiting on a roof across the street right now for you.
Wow.
Yeah, we just like hear like, doop, 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 like three shots at the window before it's
three shots and then Dean's cameras goes
I
red.
I doubt I'm going to die though. It's like, if I can't do it, then.
That sounds know, like a challenge.
Kind of hard to believe. Wow. Yeah.
Things I can't do are just silly. Death is silly.
That scene that's when something the Avengers when Tony do. Stark talks and people listen, I find that hard to believe.
Do you find it really weird, actually, like as a like very super side note, when you say those kind of things, like when it's really weird when they have their little quips in like Avengers and whatnot, when they're going to get up against the big bad guy and everything stops for them to have like a little conversation kind of thing.
Yeah.
For once, I just want to see a bad guy just like just end someone else just before they even say anything.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Like, or they go to say something and they're like, nope, done kind of thing. Like, I was like, mm-hmm. it doesn't make sense.
Well, that happens. Oh, no, it doesn't. Never mind. Carry on.
Yeah. Exactly. It doesn't happen.
I thought I had
one. That'd be pretty sick, actually. Just like, welcome. I see you found my secret.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
What do you think for predictions for a second season, though? Like, could you see a second season for this? Because everything's sort of rounded up.
I could.
Pretty
neatly, I could see the Terror Cell coming back at a bigger, like, maybe Nadia has different contacts. Like, she is a small cell of a bigger terrorist organization who are going to come back a little bit harder.
Yeah.
I could see Mike Travis having some plans that haven't fully been sussed out. Like that whole thing was just, it was sneaky. They kind of just rolled over on the Richard Longcross story as well. It's like, you know, why were all the cameras deleted when he walks through? So there's threats. Right. If they wanted to, it would need some good writing, but it's doable.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
Interesting.
What about you, Dean? Do you want to see a
Yeah, I think he's going to, I reckon, potentially one way, Bud could possibly become the bodyguard of an R&B singer and have a romantic relationship there.
Yeah. And maybe she could do a cover of I Will Always Love You. Is that the song?
I'll Always Love You Too.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Thanks, man. It's my favorite podcast now. Anyway.
It's I Will Always Love You, the cover that's done in the Bodyguard, the Kevin Costner and Whitney Houston, right? That's it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is.
You've never seen it though, right? Hey. You guys have never seen the original The Bodyguard.
This is an old movie.
We're talking
about old movies again.
Look, this is an old movie that was on like every like school holidays. Mm. It was on TV. Like it was like it almost was like a Christmas movie. It felt like,
dude,
because it was always on around Christmas. It was really weird. And I've seen this movie way too many times, but I haven't seen it since I was about 13.
Does it connect to like, the TV show Bodyguard in any way?
Well, no. So it does in a way of the story is very similar because he is you drop out a lot of the complexities of like the whole underlying conspiracies and things like that. But the story itself is Kevin Costner's character is hired to be the bodyguard of Whitney Houston's character, who has been given death threats from a crazy fan kind of thing. And there is someone trying to kill her, and they believe there's an assassination attempt that's going to occur and all that kind of stuff. So the bodyguard is there, like Kevin Costner's there, and he's trying to suss out who it is and what's going on and all that kind of thing. In the proceedings of the movie, they fall in love, similar to this.
Okay.
And there's similar sort of plot points to this, but, you know, like it's sort of heads down the same sort of path.
Mm. Yeah, right.
And when you find out who the actual person is, it's like someone that's hired someone to do it kind of thing. And yeah. Mm. So yeah, like it's sort of it does feel similar in beats, but it's definitely not the same show kind of thing. And it wasn't, yeah.
So what about the Hitman's bodyguard? Does that connect in any way?
Yes.
Oh, completely. Yeah.
It's the exact same movie.
Yeah. The chemistry between Samuel Jackson and Ryan Reynolds as they
it's beautiful.
Just fall in love
slowly
over the
exact same love story.
The Hitman's it's pretty much the exact same movie. So I feel like any movie with the bodyguard in the title is the same.
How many movies have bodyguard in the title?
I'm sure there's plenty out there.
I'll tell you.
I'm sure there's also something that could help us to
our brains
work this out. Yeah, our brains.
Mm.
There's, there's work on that.
The 2011 Hindi film bodyguard.
1,000? No, that's wrong.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh. Nope. It's a genre.
A bodyguard.
It's
genre.
A genre. That's what it is.
Balls.
It's a genre. It's like literally it's transcended actually having a title, and it's gone to genre territory now because it's like that kind of thing.
Oh, here we go. All right. Here you go. There are 200. Well, it's displaying 200, but some of them are TV episodes, so we're not going to count that. But we've got The Bodyguard TV series, The Bodyguard 1992, great year. Yojimbo, which aka The Bodyguard, Hitman's Bodyguard, My Bodyguard, Bodyguards and Assassins, Bodyguard, 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 The Bodyguard.
Is The Bodyguard, was it 1992? Wow.
Yeah. This is all a connected bodyguard universe, by the way.
A lot of bodyguard movies are Bollywood. Yep.
Bollywood bodyguard.
A lot of bodyguards. Bollywood
bodyguard. Yep.
The bodyguard.
His bodyguard? Hmm. Bodyguard doesn't sound like a word anymore. I've said it too many times.
So back to the bodyguard.
The booty guard?
Or bodyguard? Bodyguard or the bodyguard? Wait, what are we talking about?
All of them. All the bodyguards.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Goodness.
All right.
So back to the bodyguard.
So what do you guys think overall of this series? Do you like, you rate it, you like it? Where would it sit with all the birds?
I'm giving this 4 birds out of 5. I thought it was
really good. That high.
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, you're right.
That's fair. Definitely. I'd give it
I'd
give it 4 birdie guards as well. it was entertaining. It was a very entertaining show. I was really bummed out that I had to watch Cabin in the Woods because I just wanted to keep watching this. I started it you were making me watch Cabin. I'm like, I don't want to watch Cabin in the Woods.
I was making you. I feel like you frame that as if I'm like holding a gun to your head. I'm making you watch Cabin in the Woods.
I don't know if like, you're 200 yards downrange in a building at any given time.
Yeah.
So I had to watch it.
Time,
All you know is that you can remote detonate the bomb that Paul's wearing. So.
Yeah, because you're not an idiot, Nadia. Remote detonation, you fool. It's so easy.
But the thing is, like Nadia, unlike Nadia, I should say, I will never admit to it. So.
Or you will, but in a convincing way.
Yeah. When I have no other option.
Gonna make your confession justified. I thought
it
was good.
I think for me it wasn't as great as it could be because of that last episode and just kind of the convoluted plot. Like it's a little bit messy. And I think, yeah, maybe I just wasn't paying enough attention, so I'd probably have to watch it again. But 3.5 for me.
Cool.
Okay. Out of 5.
Cool.
But yeah.
Nice.
So that pretty much brings us to the end of this week's show. I hope you enjoyed the show. And if you like the show and you want to support the show, visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/nerdsbeforebirds. You can contribute any amount starting at $1 a month, and that just helps us to keep the lights on. Oh, you're doing it again. You did it
every time
last week. It's just not. It's me. Paul, why don't you tell us, where can you get in contact with us?
Guys, I'm going to let you in on a little bit of a secret. We're across every single major platform in the world. If you want to get in contact with us on Facebook, facebook.com/nerdsbeforebirds. We are on Instagram, Nerds Before Birds. We're on Twitter, Nerds Before Bird, singular, because of character limits. Twitter, you're stupid.
Bird.
But we like Twitter, so definitely get in touch with us there.
Nerd before bird.
Nerd before bird. And if you can put up with terrible accents and subpar series reviews, then we highly recommend that you give us a like, give us a subscribe.
That should be our tagline.
Did you do the Patreon yet? I wasn't listening. Sorry.
Yeah, I did the Patreon. Yeah.
Cool. Well, definitely give the Patreon a hit. Something that is definitely equal to and or more helpful. Jump on iTunes, give us a review. 5-star the bad boy, if you think it's worth 5 stars. We do, most of the time.
If you don't think it's worth five stars, maybe don't review.
And if you care about Jason's emotional state, please write to us on Facebook or social media. Jason needs people to talk to about old movies.
Yeah.
You know.
We were anything too young post 1992.
Not even that old.
Don't really care.
You were born. Yeah.
No, hang on.
You were born.
I was
in 92. Were you? Yeah. Yeah. So I was 5 years old in 92.
Jason was learning to drive. Mm.
That's when The Bodyguard came out. I might have watched The Bodyguard when I was 5.
That's appropriate.
How old I was. Yeah. No, I don't think I was. I think I actually watched it really young. I maybe watched it when I was 8 or something like that. But yeah.
Cool.
I thought it was awesome when I was a kid.
Nice.
But it was like always like the censored version that aired on TV. So like there was, everything was sort of cut out of it kind of thing pretty much.
That's lame.
Back then when they used to censor everything.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, that pretty much brings us to the end of this week's show. I hope you enjoyed the show. And that's a bye from me.
Bye.
Goodbye.